Ask the podcast coach for January 3rd, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It's a new year. It's a new Saturday. It is Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcasting questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me right over there, the one, the only, Jim Cullison from the AverageGuy.tv. Jim, how you doing?
Greetings, Dave. Always good to jump in and ruin your intro. Sorry about that.
That's all right. But if you're new to the show, you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You know what I always forget to do? Everyone in the chat room tweet that we are live.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone tweet.
And, I didn't tweet this morning. I should do that myself. I do. I think I do it automatically. I think I use a if this, then that.
Yeah.
You know, recipe to get that done.
But yeah, first one of the year, 2015, is amongst us. And let me see. I have exciting non-podcasting news to share. And I'm going to show you.
Oh, sweet.
If I can get a picture to come up on my screen, then I'll share my screen. Yepper. Now give me 2 seconds. And I realize for everybody that is listening to this via audio was like, what? That, my friends, is that, let me get this out of my way.
Hold on. There it is.
That is my future son-in-law.
Oh, nice.
My stepdaughter got engaged on New Year's Eve.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, so really nice guy. Cool. He's a southern gentleman and has a really, really, really good job.
That's good. That's always good.
Yeah.
In other words, he's not a podcaster.
He's not a podcaster. Yes. His family is in the oil business. So he's got a really good job.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And, well, we should also say, you know what else is exciting? When people call
open
in.
Phone lines.
Yeah, we have open phone lines. Speaking of that, let me go over to, we're still playing with Blog Talk Radio. That number is, of course, 347-850-8007. Open phone lines. And we kind of have a tradition going on here. Kim has been calling in ahead of time because she can't make it. So here is a phone call or a question from Kim. It's a good question.
Hi, Dave and Jim. This is Kim from OnTheTablePodcast.com. I have to do an interview in the near future, and the person I'm interviewing does not have any kind of microphone, so I'm going to have to do it in person. So I have a little handheld digital recorder. How do I do this? Thanks. Talk to you soon. Sorry I'm going to miss the call-in this week. I can't wait to hear the answer online. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Kim. Also a member of the Cleveland Podcasters Group. So just to recap, and for the record, she wasn't calling from a cave. She used the phone line, 888-563-3228. And basically, in a nutshell, you know, those call-in services just have horrible quality. So when I cleaned it up, it made it sound like she was in a cave. So the recap is she has a portable recorder. The person she's talking to, you know, I almost need to listen to it again. Did she say she was going to do this in person?
Yes, in person.
Yeah, because I think what I suggested for her to do is just to do what I call the Bob Barker, where you basically take the recorder and you point it at whoever is talking, and that would do it.
I've done a bunch of interviews, so I have a Tascam. Mm-hmm. I've got the DR07 here. This is a really inexpensive way to get in on these, by the way. Mm-hmm. These are $99. They don't sell this version anymore. The microphones are situated different now. But, yeah, just hold that up to you. I've gone to conferences. It's important. These are condenser mics, so it's really important that you get a quiet room unless you want that ambiance of the conference or people around you, whatever, if you're looking for that. But hold it up, and I always wear earbuds with them so that I can hear what they sound like.
Right. That's the key.
And then, yeah, exactly, because you want to know if you've got the gain. This has got a gain level on it that you want to, you know, right there, that you want to make sure you got right. It's got some little levels here. These are – every podcaster should own something like this to be able to go on the road and do stuff with. So I'm with you, Dave, kind of back and forth.
Yeah, I know The Zoom H1 is about the size of a candy bar, and it's $99 as well. I've heard okay things about that. It's not fair when you compare that to, you know, the H5 or something like that. The other thing I was going to say, if you have somebody who doesn't have a microphone, how do you record a phone call? Well, I always say the best thing to do is get a Skype out number or Skype in, either one, take your pick. But that way you can call phones. Or if they're, I mean, on one hand, you would be calling their phone. So all they have to do is remember how to pick up the phone. The other thing you could use in some cases is we used to use it here on Ask the Podcast Coach, good old uberconference.com. In terms of recording a phone call, not the best, but the best of the worst. I think they record theirs at 96, if I remember right, where all the other ones are that crappy phone call kind of information. So that would be another way to go if you're really stuck and you don't have a microphone. Maybe you're out on the road or whatever. Uber Conference is a better, worse choice, if that makes any sense at all.
Google Voice would work as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because what is
call it through Google Voice?
Yeah, and then what do you press 4 or something like that, and it'll record the call.
Ooh, can you do that on Google Voice?
I think so. Yeah, it's one of those where I could never get it to work. That's why I've done it by accident before. Like you'll move your phone, and all of a sudden this call is being recorded, and you're like, really?
I have to look. I have to remember that. That would be handy.
But it was something like £4 or £4, but whatever it was, I couldn't get the magic key, you know, whatever to get it to work.
Dave, I get most frustrated. Frustrated is probably too strong of a word, but it when I have to do a guest and they don't have a microphone, and you're so used to you're so used to everybody having mics, right? Because we talk to each other all the time, and so mm-hmm. you get really good sound. But speaking of good sound, Daniel's saying I sound good today. I switched over to studio mode. I always forget to do that on Google Hangouts. So today I switched over. A little hotter, a little sizzlier.
Sizzlier? I like that word.
So anyways.
That's exciting. Again, I'm going to hit the button again. Maybe I won't. There we go. If you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. No lines waiting here. And you know what's kind of weird? Because it is the first of the year and that whole, and not a whole lot of news going on. You know, I went out and looked this morning and was like, okay. And if you're a member of the School of Podcasting, well, this is a bad thing to say. I should have said that. We are having our live think tank. I do a kind of an open hours, office hours kind of thing today at 3. If you did not get the email, send me an email and I'll make sure you get the link. I'm going to use that new service. It's so new that I can't remember the name of it. Chat. Oh, because I thought about using it here on this show. But what it does is it adds polling and, I forget the name of it. I will get it for you here in 2 seconds because the guy sent the main dude behind it sent me an, he's been sending me email. What do you think of the service? I'm like, I haven't used it yet. Crowdcast. I'm going to try Crowdcast today with the School of Podcasting members. Here's what it says it does. You can register people, which is the cool thing. And then it reminds people, which is kind of cool. It gives you demographic data and emails on the viewers, allows the participants to chat with everyone, has a real-time voting and polling system. Don't know if I really need that. Because we thought about you doing that one time for this, but I don't want it to be where you have to register to see this. Allows viewers to join on any device. Well, a Google Hangout, hello. That's not really, that's one of those features that's not a feature, right? You can do that on any, you know, device now. And it allows late attendees to still watch the event as well as see all the questions asked. That I'm not sure what he's going for there. Meaning what? Like they join 10 minutes late and they start from the beginning? I'll have to see what the heck that means. But it's free. I asked him. I'm like, what's the catch? Like, it's okay. It's great that it's free, but what's then? He was like, well, we're not charging for it now. I'm like, okay, which means I am in the future.
But yeah, he's been communicating with me too. You sent mm-hmm. me the link. I went and signed up. He's like, and I didn't. It, you know, it was kind of another. You know, the Hangouts embedded in it, and there's it's. the UI is not as clean as I'd like it to be. Part of it is I really like the way we do it now, where you have a separate video window and a separate chat room. And I don't find
any value.
I don't find polling that important to what I do. I'm sure in the enterprise, and when we talk about webinars, and when you've got maybe a couple hundred people and you're trying to keep them engaged, and or they have to be listening or something like that, I think those ideas are very valid. So I don't want to invalidate them, because there are times when that stuff makes a problem. I just, in my podcasting stuff, I just don't see me doing a poll. If I want to know if my audience thinks, I just ask, hey, what do you guys think of? So let's just do that. What do you guys think, if you're in the chat room? What do you think of polling? Would you ever have someone poll during your, or would you poll during your podcast? And would the answers, getting the answers back in that format, be helpful?
I would think the only advantage would be, like, the cool thing with we're using Chatwing is I can go back later. I think it saves the entire chat. I mean, it's got a lot of history here. So if I want to, I can go back and see what people said. I know it's great for show notes that way. I don't know, with a poll, it'd be kind of nice because everything is in one spot. I don't have to scroll through, 12 mountains of chat to see yes, no, no, yes, no, that kind of thing. I did see where Fred had a question about a microphone. I just saw it. What about the dual hookup? Yeah.
Before you move on to that, one of the nice things, or what I think with Crowdcast, they're getting it right, is it's integrated with Google Hangouts.
Yeah.
So that I love to see more of that kind of tech, as they get better at this. We should be giving them feedback, right? Using this, giving them constructive feedback, those kinds of things. I think it's super important that that stuff gets embedded, now if they could make one of these for Skype, that would be pretty cool too, right? If you could.
Yeah.
I mean, Skype's not public, and I wish Microsoft would make it that way, where you could broadcast a Skype call. I mean, imagine that to have two options to do this. That would be awesome. So anyway, sorry to interrupt your question.
Well, sorry. Fred had asked, what about the dual hookup giant squid audio lavalier mic? Was that a question into something else in the chat box?
That was doing a live interview in person.
Ah, yeah, that works too. Which is, I think, yes, it's this thing right here where you have basically, great, now I'm stuck on my mic. Hold on a second. You basically have this on one end, and on the other hand, you have a really, really long cord that is destined to get,
if you're falling down the side of a mountain, just throw it against the rocks, it'll get tangled,
exactly. And then on the other end, you have these two little itty-bitty clip-on microphones, which is kind of cool. So that would work,
That'd
too.
That'd be a great way to do it. That would work on the Tascam that's got that line in right up on the top, so you plug that into the very top.
Yeah, so that would work, too. I don't know when she was doing the interview, but it's one of those where it's like,
I don't know how good those lavaliers are, but the condenser mics on these things are dynamite. And so I don't know if I would just move away from them. They're so good that they're so good. You can do that kind of spy thing, right? Where you plug your earbuds in and then someone's talking across the room and up the game and you can hear across the room.
I've done that here. There's a magazine next door to me in the next office over. And as you might imagine, magazines not always having a great day in the world of social media and things. I'm like, really? Like print people?
People still read that stuff?
And it's run by a husband and wife team. And there are times when their conversations get a little loud. And I'm like, hold on a second. Let's turn off the speakers and just turn up the microphone on the way. It's like, wow, I can hear everything they're saying.
It really is. Those are very sensitive, and so you can kind of pick up voices from far away.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to be careful with them.
Yeah, the Joe Taylor in the chat asks, do those microphones work with a Roland RO5? Yes, they do, and it's actually something I usually do at New Media Expo, things like that. I walk around tripping over the cable, and we actually have a caller. So
awesome.
But yeah, those do work. I'll have to, if you Google Giant Squid Audio, their website is something like giant-squid-audio or something like that. But handmade by a guy in Michigan, but ending in 5673. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, guys. My name is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
And I'm the one that posted the original thing on Facebook about Crowdcast. I thought I would mention, you know, the experience I had with
it.
Yeah, go.
The place where I discovered it was that there was a thing called WordSesh, which is for WordPress people, and it was a 24-hour session that every hour a different person came on through Google Hangouts and had a seminor. So it lasted about 45 minutes.
Hmm.
And so it was run through Crowdcast, and I really enjoyed the way that it worked. Whenever I've been on native Google Hangouts, the chat underneath is very, it just feels very clunky, and I just haven't really cared for it much. But the chat on this scrolled up on the side right next to the window, so you could actually see both at the same time, which was nice. And the polls have worked really well in that context of, hey, what type of stuff do you guys want us to cover? And it was like voting up ideas.
Yeah, I did see that. On the call I have this morning, people have already sent me questions as to, you know, different things, which is because I said, if you have anything you want me to cover, you know, leave them here. And that way today, when I get ready to do that, I know exactly what I need to answer up front. And then, of course, obviously there'll be it'll be a free for all. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Dan, you're absolutely right. The chat in a native Google Hangout window is basically useless. I mean, you get about four lines. It's not real time. I mean, it is, but it takes a while for it to update. They must run a script that, you know, every 10 seconds or something it updates. And so it's not a great experience. One of the reasons why I take the Hangout out of Google Plus, and we don't even emphasize a Google Plus page at all. I don't like people getting confused out there, and we move them on to our own live page. Dave does the same thing here. I can see when I tested out the service, I can see the value to using something like that, like Crowdcast. Google had its own version of it with Q&A and some other things going on with Hangouts, where I could see in that kind of scenario, it would really, really work well. It sounded like a big group, a lot of diverse people, maybe they weren't it's a group that's not necessarily used to getting together all the time. They're trying to get constant feedback from the audience, those kinds of things. So I can see where that came in, where that would come in handy to use something like that in that kind of scenario. So I'm sure it worked really, really well when you were watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. And the fact that it ran for 24 hours straight was kind of a nice stress test on the system, and there were no flaws that I'm aware of.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's worth a look. I think if you're going to do some kind of webinar, it has a lot of implications for the webinar style, where maybe you've got, like I said, you've got a disparate group, or they're not used to getting together very often, or whatever. I think it's like I said, I think they're onto something there, that because they're embedding it and it's got a, you know, it basically it's an app now, mm-hmm. inside of Google Hangouts. So I think there's some good options. I think I'll keep looking at it. I didn't like the layout. I tried it, set up a Hangout, did a couple test ones for what I do for my podcast. I just didn't like the way it was laid out, and I didn't get a lot of customization on it. So I was kind of like, I wouldn't just flip over to this. Like when I went to Chatwing we used live stream chat for the longest time. When I went to Chatwing, within 10 minutes, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. This works well. I didn't get that same feeling with Crowdcast, but my podcasts are just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Do you have a podcast,
Dan? Definitely send the feedback over to this. Excuse me?
That's right. Go ahead. I don't want to change the subject.
I would say, you know, send over the that feedback over to the guy who runs it. There might be ways that they can do a customization of the layout.
Yeah.
Since it is new.
Yeah, it might. You know, I think it was Jim who over there who reached out to me several times and was like, "Hey, is there anything I can do to help?" I just haven't had time to respond. So to be fair, I didn't get back to them, but. It's definitely worth a look. I mean, it's one of those tools that you kind of keep in your back pocket, and And it's one certainly I'll probably keep following just to kind of see where they go. And you know, they're changing all the time. So it might be worth keeping an eye on.
And I was just asking if you had a podcast yourself.
Do we lose him?
I don't know. Dan?
You still there, Dan?
It says he's here.
Oh.
I did hear my phone go make a noise. Magic Jack call in process. Did we drop the call? Nope. It says he's on hold. He's not on hold. Now, here's the fun thing. How do you take something off hold?
I hear the beep beep like he's on hold.
Okay. Now he's okay. Now he's back. Now you notice.
Dan, are you back?
He's back now.
Okay.
That's
now
weird.
I can hear you.
I didn't touch a button. I'm telling you, ghosts in the machine. All right, here. Let me. Sorry about that, well, Dan.
Dan, while Dave's doing that, you have a podcast.
Yeah, I produce the Miskatonic University podcast. It's a little different from your usual fare. It's about a role-playing game that I enjoy.
Nice.
And we're at mu-podcast.com.
There you go. Easy to spell.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in making sure we covered that fairly.
Yes, it sounds cool. I'll be interested to play with it today. I'll have to report back next week. Awesome.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Dan.
Yep. Take care. Yeah, I did find out I was playing with Blog Talk Radio this week. When I put you on, quote, on the air, I believe it goes ding. So you'll kind of know when you're...
Ding.
Yeah, you dial in, you press 1, and of course that number is 347-850-8007. That number again, 347-850-8007. And you press 1 to say, I want to speak to the host. And then when I put you on, you hear a ding. So
hey, not that it matters, but Keith was saying he couldn't see me on video. You don't have it locked on you.
Was locked on me for a bit, yes, because I was doing something while there was a phone call, and I put it on you because it's always on me.
It's always fun. It's always fun. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter. Nobody, you don't really need to see me anyways. It's not that great. Not that great of an experience.
Here's the question. You know, a common question I keep getting. Do I think Serial is going to bring a huge amount of people to podcasting?
Oh, this is a great conversation.
And for me, the last time I saw like a really like wow kind of like hockey stick kind of spike, for me at least, was like iTunes. I mean, we've had things that have boosted it. You know, don't get me wrong. But in terms of like where things just went like off the chart kind of thing, it was iTunes. And I've seen things, you know, the numbers are always going up slightly. And so when things like the, you know, the smartphones came out, now you don't have to sync anymore, you know, that boosted things. And, but to me, because I've been telling people, I keep seeing all these screenshots of Apple CarCare. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to be a huge one. I really don't. Because right now I get in my car and the Bluetooth just automatically syncs it. I don't need anything in my dashboard. It already knows to look for my phone and, you know, done deal. So I'm not sure what the deal is that what do you think, Jim? I mean, does it bring listeners? Sure, because there are people that are listening to podcasts now that weren't. But in terms of a giant spike, I don't know.
Well, a giant spike in our own shows, probably not right away. A giant spike in or a long-term increase in listening, absolutely. So I think, you know, because it was crazy. In 1 week, I had 3 people who I know never have listened to podcasts before go. And they came to me because they knew I was a podcaster. They're like, hey, did you listen to Serial? It's the best thing ever, right? Well, what happens when Serial's over, right? They go, I wonder what else is out there. And so they start looking, and if they know you and they know, oh, hey, maybe I'll try your podcast, they'll try that. So I think, you know, Serial and Startup and, you know, some of those other ones, I think they're really, really, really good for podcasting. We need to encourage them. We need to make sure they're getting supported. We need to make sure those things are happening. We need some of those big home runs to start pulling people in. It's just – it's kind of like, I think, the current burst in podcasting in general. We're seeing more and more people podcasting, I think, today than we ever have. I think one of your 2015 predictions from Podcasters Roundtable, right, in that group was that we'd see a lot of people start and fail. I think that's okay. That kind of needs to happen in some ways, because those folks will start, they'll expand the rubber band. I kind of see this as a big, gigantic rubber band, and it will never actually go back to its original length, right? It gets expanded, and then it'll shrink back when those podcasters fail. But those people who found podcasting will look for other podcasts. I know there's a big concern that people will be turned off by bad podcasting, and that's just a necessary risk that has to happen in order for podcasts to expand. So it's gonna happen that way. I mean, how many bad radio shows are there out there, and people still listen to radio, right? So I don't necessarily think it's bad that, and then bad is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to some podcasts that I get through one or two, and I'm like, oh, we won't mention names, but we're talking about one in the pre-show. And I'm like, for me, everybody loves it, and I hate it. I'm like, oh, I can't stand those guys. But it's a personal preference, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things where beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I think Serial is really good. We need a couple. I mean, Serial is a home run. I mean, it is a home run out of the park, in the water. I mean, it is gone. We need a few more of those, and we need them in different genres to really expand what we're trying to do here. And the key, I think, is get people listening to it on their phone. This week, I thought, in my offerings from here on out, when I'm talking about podcasting, I'm going to mention two apps. I'm going to mention the Podcasts app on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention Stitcher on Android, because Android's a mess, right? It's a terrible, awful mess when it comes to podcasting. But Stitcher will bring it all together. Sure, the audio is not great. Sure, they just got bought by Deezer. Bow, bow, bow. But I think it's a unified platform that people can get. We have to get them to get on and listening faster, right? How can we say a School of Podcasting, and boom, they bring up their phone, they go to Stitcher, they find School of Podcasting, they subscribe. It needs to be that fast. So I've just kind of resolved that I'm not going to talk about, Shout Engine. I'm not going to talk about Audio Boom. I'm not going to talk about SoundCloud. I'm not going to talk about those. I'll mention them. I'll post to them. It's Stitcher, podcast app. Those are the only two that I'm going to focus on, because we got to get people to get that stuff on their phone. Because you're right. You get in the car, you've got your phone on you. Right.
Yeah.
That's where it needs to be at. So.
Mine actually annoys me. I'm trying to tell my car to quit looking for my phone, because I'll have my earbuds in, and all of a sudden I'll be like right in the middle of a cool point, and it's like all of a sudden, but, and I'm like, and then I see my dashboard spinning, looking for the Bluetooth device, and I want to go, no, quit. I'm just listening to my earbuds. We're good. And it drives me crazy on that. Hey, this is a School of Podcasting thing, but I can throw one of these in here, I think. Oh, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm battling you guys can't hear it. You guys hear any echo of me today?
I don't. You don't have any.
No, nothing.
You don't have anything else.
I have
maybe Spreaker or Mixler still playing.
I have me muted. I have everything but me and you muted. So I don't know, what it is, but there's this ever so slight delay, and I even have the phone. I thought maybe somehow through the phone, and I've double checked. I'm not sending, I'm sending me to the phone, and then, but for whatever reason, it is an odd little delay on me. But we can do this now. There we go.
In case you missed it, it's time for a podcast rewind.
If you've ever wondered what your microphone sounds like, or if you thought about getting a headset microphone, or you thought about getting a Blue Snowball, or you thought about getting a Yeti, Jessica and Elsie over at She Podcast, which is an interesting podcast in the fact that, they say men and women are different. And that's true. And it's weird because, if we go stereotypes, guys are just lunkheads that get to the point, and women will give you tons and tons of detail. And I find that to be true. And they did an episode, they asked their audience I was so tempted to call in and go, yes, hi, this is Jane. I use, but they asked like, what did they learn from podcasting? What was their gear and things like that? What's interesting is a lot of people in that circle, for whatever reason, are using Yetis and Snowballs, which from my standpoint is always kind of like, hey, it's a condenser mic. you might want to think about going with a dynamic. It's not, and you'll hear where they don't really sound bad. It's not sounds like they're in an echo chamber. It's not as bad as maybe people say it's going to sound. But somebody comes on in a headset, and that's where I went. That's a good example, because everybody's like this, and then all of a sudden somebody comes on and they're like this. Hi, I'm on a headset, and you know, it's like, wow, there's a big difference there. So there's some interesting information.
Unless they have a really nice headset. I mean, I got a kid who's podcasted with me, Christian, and he's got a Sennheiser. It's
nice.
A $300 headset, right? And it's like TV quality. It's like the you know, well, not quite what the guys use on TV, but pretty darn close. And it sounded really good. So that's, but you're talking about one of those Plantronics cheap headsets.
The $29.
Right? Yeah.
And, but it was interesting because the advice for almost everybody was just start. You can't get better till you start. So it's an interesting episode. You can find that over at She Podcasts, I believe with an S. And I was listening to that. It's an interesting show. Going back to that is I did my, if I can only listen to one podcast, and I swear I have to change that question next year, because this year I said, if you're on a desert island and you could only listen to one, and I had people actually make their decision based on the fact that they were on a desert, like, well, because there's no this and I might be doing something in the sand, I'm going to listen. I'm like, so next year it's going to be if you only have enough bandwidth to listen to one podcast.
It was kind of funny.
It
was funny. I'm like, no, he didn't literally mean if you were on a desert island.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. And it's, of course, my audience is primarily male. So we doubled our female, which was cool. People that called in, we had two this year, where the previous year we had one. And it was interesting because she went into an enormous amount of detail about her podcast and things like that. So I just thought to me, I always love when stereotypes are somewhat true, and it made me smile and giggle and that whole nine yards. So,
I'm finding that I've been doing some, with Gallup, I do a lot of podcasting where it's somebody's first time on a podcast, and we ship them a microphone when we do it. We ship them one of these ATRs. You know, I've bought about 10 of them, and we ship them all around. And by the time I've shipped it like five times, I probably could have bought another one, but it makes sense to reuse it, right? Those kinds of things. So what I'm finding happening is people use these things and we make them wear earbuds and they'll plug in and they'll hear their own voice in it and they'll hear how good quality it is. And then they'll say, can I buy these things?
No.
And yeah, I'm like, because they think it's like a $400 setup is what they think, right? They see these microphones and they're like, man, that's pretty badass. You know, how much is this? And I'm like, it's $50 on Amazon. And I cannot tell you how many people I've had go, oh, I'm buying one today.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things I think even for the average guy, having a better microphone, you don't have to have the arm and stuff. You can set it on your desk with the tripod that's there. But if you do a lot of audio work, I think it's worth having one. And the people I talk to that hear me on them go, man, that's really, and I'm like, yeah, and I can actually hear you because I have earbuds in, you know, that it's, you're not, oh, what? And there's no echo and stuff like that. So, I'm just finding an openness now to some of this stuff that we've been doing because it just gives better, it just gives you overall better quality. And people don't want to wear a headset, you know, they don't want to, they feel nerdy in that. And yet somehow a microphone sitting on the table seems fine to them. So, Oliver mentions the Samsung Q2U is $38 on Amazon right now with headphones, and those headphones aren't very good, but, yeah, that's a good, and I mentioned this before, and I have to buy these microphones in the international markets, and the ATR 2100s are not available in every country.
Right.
And so we almost always default back to the Samsung Q2U. I did a Q1U. That was probably a mistake. I didn't at the time. I didn't know, but looks like we have a caller.
We do have a caller. Ending in 8065, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question? Oh, please tell me my phone didn't. I haven't. My phone is sitting on the shelf. I have you muted.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. There we go.
There we go.
What's your name and what's your question?
Rewind it. Dave and Bill. Dave and Jim, this is Bill Conrad. Happy New Year.
Hey, buddy.
Rewind there.
How are you?
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty busy, as always. Hey, you're hitting on my topic. You know, equipment and microphones, the ATR 21 is excellent. I've got a couple of them. I actually had one go bad. But the place I've had challenges is in the mixer business. I have a, it all happened when I got a PR40.
Okay.
And I can't hear you right. So when I got the PR40, the mixers can never drive them. I got a new Pro FX8. I've got everything pushed all the way up, the gain up, and I'm still having challenges. I mean, it sounds a lot better than what I had.
Well, one of the things you can do on some of the higher end mixers, you can solo the microphone and it will show you basically how loud that microphone is, like the input coming in, not so much how loud the overall, but in turn.
Right.
So, you know, have you given that a shot?
No, I haven't. I just got this Pro FX8 before Christmas and I played with it. I might even send it back because it just doesn't have the...
Yeah.
The ATR 2100 generally do a great job.
Yeah, the Heil is kind of famous for not having a lot of punch. I got to remember what Ray uses. Is it a FET head? There's something head that boosts microphone with clean boost of 20 dBs.
Right, you can add.
Those I've heard are really, really good. It's like a little built-in preamp. I'll have to ask Ray. FET head.
You don't use the PR40, right?
I don't use it. I use this is an RE320, the Electro Voice.
Yeah.
The thing I like about it is there is, you know, if I get super close or far away, some microphones, if I do that with a, you know, most microphones, there's a thing called a proximity effect, and I can, you know, I can get really close and get super bassy. And I like the fact that I've got this running through a compressor, so I can kind of get, you know, I can move around. I'm looking at different screens, and it doesn't really change the volume a whole lot, and it also doesn't change the sound of it. Yeah, Cloud Lifter and FET.
And two other things about equipment. You're talking about the Blue Yeti. I do a podcast with a coder, WP Tonic, and he's a coder, and he uses the – he's getting better, but he uses the Yeti, and I can definitely tell the difference from the Yeti and the other mics.
Yeah, it's definitely a good microphone. It's just a condenser microphone, and you just have to realize. I just did a thing for the School of Podcasting. I'm redoing some of the videos, and I had the ATR 2020 microphone sitting next to the 2100 microphone, and just I put my phone on in the background, and I'll put on a podcast and set it back there on the bookcase behind me, and I have a fan over here for a heater, and. You listen to me talk to it through the ATR 2100, and you still hear it. It's not like it completely knocks out the background noise. But then the minute I hit the button on the condenser microphone, it was like that heater was like right behind me. It was like, how does it pick up a huge amount of sound? So,
well, anyway, that's the challenge for the first part of 2015. I think it's going to be a really great year.
Well,
hey, I hope to send me the link. I hope to touch in this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, when you say it's not working, how do you know it's not working?
Well, the PR40 and the mixer, the Pro FX8.
Yeah.
Basically, I've got the gain turned all the way up. I've got all my levers turned up to try to get the volume. It's almost all maxed out. And I am getting pretty good sound.
And?
Overall. But it's pushed all the way up, though. I can't. For a mixer, okay. you shouldn't be pushing everything all the way up.
Okay. But you can always turn up the volume. You can turn up the sensitivity of your recording. So, you know,
try turning,
like I have my RO5, 9 times out of 10, I have that thing like at the high, I think it's 80 is its input. And that way I don't have to turn up my mixer that loud. Because when you turn up the mixer, even on a good mixer, you know, when you turn everything up all the way, you're going to get a little hiss going on. So I turn up my recorder.
Okay.
So my recorder is like, you know, doing one of these things where it's got his hand behind its ears. It's listening as hard as it can. So I don't have to pump up everything so loud. And I have found that portable recorders, when you turn them all the way up, they don't really add a lot of noise to the recording. So that's something you might want to try as well. Cause it may be that. Go ahead.
I Skype. Most of my calls are on Skype,
mm-hmm.
and I use Call Recorder, which the new, by the way, it does updates on Skype, Call Recorder, and they've improved it. But early on, I had a terrible time. I could never match my inbound call. But anyway, things are getting better. I really enjoy it. I've got like 3 shows, and the tech show is actually doing pretty well.
Okay, good. Excellent.
So anyway, hope to see you this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send me an email if you didn't get the email, and I'll make sure you have the link.
Will do. And, Jim, have a good year. And also, I don't know why, but my cache always blocks you out initially. I always have problems initially signing on to Google Podcast.
Yeah, no sweat. Just always head over to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That'll get you there. It's good to see you.
I do. Somebody and when I bring it up, in fact, I did. I kept it up. I'll send you a pod. Mm. It always has the old show on initially. I sort of have to clear the cache or something.
Yeah, or refresh. Even when you refresh it after we've started, the new show doesn't show up?
Let me see. I've got the old link. Let's see if I'll refresh it right now.
Refresh that, because it should show the new show, the new Spreaker one. Mixler's really good at this. You know, between Mixler and Spreaker, I like to actually use – I mean, I think the Mixler mechanics work better, but the experience is better on Spreaker. So at least that's the feedback we've been getting from folks. Yeah. Is it there or not?
You know, I just refreshed. And I'm looking back and forth. Yeah, it's there. I just refreshed.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it takes, if you catch us right at the very beginning, like just before Dave hits play, that player won't be there. That's the one drawback to Spreaker is you've got to hit record for that player to change. Where on Mixler, it's a static player. It's just always, that player just always is the same one no matter what. And you just refresh it for the play button. So, it's a little bit different, but we're glad that you made it in.
All right, thanks. Have a good one. And 215's here. Cool.
Take care, Bill. I have no idea what he meant.
I have no idea. 215 is here. All right, excellent.
He's supposed to say back in the day.
the other thing I should mention that we're in the process of doing, because I made a tutorial about it for the School of Podcasting, is I'm still not quite sure what I was thinking. When I started the show, I made the RSS feed on the School of Podcasting. I guess I wasn't really thinking of making this its own brand. And so I have gone through the steps of I'm moving the feed, because right now it's like schoolofpodcasting.com/something/whatever. I was using a podcast channel on PowerPress, and I'm moving it over to askthepodcastcoach.com. So I don't know that that's going to affect downloads, you know, like are people that have already listened to episodes, are those going to be seen as new episodes? I guess we'll all find out. But I am moving that just because it's this for the same reason I'm moving the membership site away. When you have more things on one site, it kind of, you have to, like, I know once I put Ask the Podcast Coach down the School of Podcasting pipe by accident. You know, and it's because it's just here's the link for this, and the other one's like an inch and a half down, and I went, oh,
it's easy to do.
Yeah, and I went, yep.
It's easy to do. It's that debate between having a network where you have all your podcasts on one site and having individual branding for each. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, and you kind of have to make that determination of, you know, does it make sense to split them up and have their own brand recognition, or does it make sense to have them all in one channel?
Yeah, actually, we've got another caller. All right, ending in 4790, what's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Good morning, Dave and Jim. It's Barbara Phillips.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome. What can we do?
Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And here's my question. I have the Zoom H5.
Okay.
And when I use it in conjunction to doing a Skype call on my computer, it works pretty well. I've now tried using it to record sound when I'm on a Hangout, and I cannot get the volume up high enough. If I turn the input, which I believe those are also called the gains, if I turn those up, then I get hissed, so I can't turn them up too high, but yet I cannot get good enough volume when I record a Hangout on the Zoom. So anything I should be doing differently as far as my setup? I'm using the same setup I would use with a Skype call.
I would go down to the little speaker in the bottom right-hand corner of your, you know, computer. Are you on a Mac or a PC?
I'm on a Mac.
Okay. Oh, this is where I need to really, that's a thing for 2015. Because now, like on a PC, go to the bottom right-hand corner with a Mac. It's like, oh, go to Preferences. I'm trying to think, where is the, oh, it's in the upper right-hand corner. The little speaker in the upper right-hand corner. Make sure that bad boy's all the way up. Because you're taking the sound coming out of the computer. And so if that's, you know, way down, well, turn it up and then you can turn down the recording on the, or the input on the recorder. That might be something to try. And then also in the
I was just going to say that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because what I'm doing is I have the exact same settings that I would be using on a Skype.
Okay, which is?
Well, you know, now I can't even remember. I've got the XLR from the ATR. Then I have the other input into I don't have it plugged in right now, but I have that into the back of the computer where it works just fine. And then my microphone goes into the Zoom. So I guess I'm not understanding what you mean if I turn up the speaker. If I turn up the speaker volume on my computer that I hear through my headset, then it gets too loud, but that doesn't seem to affect the Zoom.
Okay. Run that by me one more time. So your microphone is going into the Zoom, right?
Correct.
Okay, how does...
And then the Zoom is going...
And then the Zoom is going to where? How's the sound from the computer getting into the Zoom?
I have that plugged into the headphone.
You have that plugged into the...
On the Mac.
Okay, so yeah, the sound of the Mac is coming out and going into the Zoom. Mm-hmm. How is your microphone getting to the Hangout? That's my question.
Well, the microphone is hooked into the Zoom.
Right. But how is it? What microphone is it?
ATR 2100.
That's right. So you've probably got that going in via USB, I'm guessing, to the Hangout? Because I don't hear how the Hangout.
No, I have it hooked into the Zoom.
Okay, but how is the Zoom going to the Hangout? Like, how do the people on the Hangout hear you?
Well, the Zoom is... I have no idea, but it goes into the back of the Mac.
The back of the Mac, where... Okay, so what's...
I'm using the same setup... I'm sorry. I think we're over-talking one another.
Well, what you probably need to do is just listen on the phone, because there's a delay between the video and the call.
No, I think she is. There's just latency in this call. So we've just got to be careful not to step over each other. So you almost have to ask a question and then wait for the response.
Yeah. Are you using the Zoom as a USB device?
No. I don't have any USB hookups on the Zoom.
Can the people on the Hangout hear you?
Yes.
That's the head scratcher I'm like going, because I don't hear how the microphone is making it to the Hangout. It's plugged into the Zoom, but the Zoom is only listening to the sound, which would be your guest, coming out of a Hangout. So that's the part I'm confused on, is how is your microphone getting into the Hangout? Because it's going into the Zoom, but there's nothing going out of the Zoom into the Hangout. The only thing that's going on with the Zoom are things are going into it. So that's the part I'm confused on.
Hmm. We may not be able to troubleshoot this over the phone.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm confused about, if this works with doing it on a Skype call, because this works perfectly when I'm doing my recordings via Skype. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it working on a Hangout?
Well, let's talk
Should
a little bit about the difference.
Let's
talk a little bit about the difference between what Skype does and what Google Hangouts do. When we talk about how they take over the various volume controls. So if you go into Skype, and I believe you can do this on the Mac version as well, but Skype often has its own kind of audio control in there, and a lot of people turn that off once they get their level set. So in other words, Skype will try to adjust your sound quality for you But they give you the option to shut that off. So if you've turned that off and you've got your level set right on Skype, it's going to stay consistent all the time that's in there. So just go into the preferences on Skype and see if you have your audio levels either fixed or if you're allowing Skype to make the adjustments for it. That gets a little awkward on Skype sometimes if you're allowing automatic adjustments, because if you back away from your microphone, it will try and it'll sense that your volume is going down, so it'll boost your volume and you'll get this rush of wind sound that goes in. So, Barbara, not your problem, but I just thought I'd mention that while we were talking about it.
And
So check. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I think Alan has figured it out. She's probably going into the Hangout via her camera.
Yeah, well, so with you definitely want to check both on Skype what the input is, and then when you go to the Google Hangout side, you don't get those kinds of options on a Google Hangout, especially if you're in voice mode, right? Google is going to adjust things for you. You don't get any kind of volume control on what you're doing. If you change over to Studio and then you monkey with your mic settings in the Mac, you can actually have some control over what's going out. So, Barbara, my advice to you would be dig in a little bit to the settings on both the Hangout in your Mac and on Skype. See if you can see if there's a difference between those. Because if all things being the same, and it sounds like we're trying to troubleshoot hardware that we probably don't need. If it's working for you on Skype, it should work for you on the Hangouts. But drop down into those settings in the Hangouts and make sure the both the inputs, the speaker and the microphone inputs are exactly where you want them to be. That could be the difference as well.
That's it. And I don't know this is available on a Hangout. I know it is on Air. You can go into a thing called the control room. Now, the nice thing about that is you can actually adjust the volume of your guest and you. So that's basically your mixer, which I know in my video on YouTube, I show you how you can use Skype as a mixer. I don't know that that's available on a Hangout. I know it is Hangout on Air, but I don't know about Hangouts. If there's a control room where you can adjust their volume,
not just for the, it has to be on air for that volume control to be there. You can't just do it in a regular Hangout. But Barbara, does that help to go and kind of check those audio settings, make sure they're all the same and they're pointing the right stuff? Have you done that?
No, I haven't, but I do see that it is automatically adjusting microphone settings on Skype, and I do use Hangout on Air, but I will check that.
Yeah, gives you some settings to try, at least to make sure they're consistent from the Hangout to Skype.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Jim, if you could smile really pretty right now, I'm going to take a quick screenshot.
Barbara, thanks for calling in.
And I'll send Barbara
a screenshot.
Thank you.
You guys have a great year.
You too.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
That's right. Randy Cantrell says, monkey with the mic settings. That is the technical term for that.
Is that what I said, monkey with it? I think I did.
Yeah, but that's probably it. It's probably picking up the wrong microphone because I didn't, you know, to me, I'm like, I didn't hear where the microphone was going.
I've done a whole podcast that way, Dave, where I didn't get, I was monkeying with my settings before the podcast. I didn't get them changed back. It was the camera mic and not the regular mic that it got set to. And what drove me crazy is I podcast with the same guys all the time, and you'd think one of them would say, hey, I don't think you're coming through your microphone. I got done. This was a while ago, but I got done with the podcast. I went back to edit it. I'm like, hey guys, was anybody going to tell me that I was coming out of my camera mic? And it's one of those things now. I can hear immediately, you know, a couple times when we've been podcasting, your mic, you know, I've been like, are you coming through? Can you tap that mic? I have people tap, you know, just do this.
You're sitting there and you're going, do you hear? No, nothing. And then you do this. You're like, oh, there we go. Okay.
We're on. That's one of the very first sound checks that I do with everybody. You know, I bring in different people, like I said, on my podcast all the time. And I do them every single week, and the first thing I do is I'm like, grab your microphone and get it as close to you as possible, and then just tap on it for you to make sure that you have the right, that we have the right microphone.
I'm not sure. I'll try, because I never officially hung up on Barbara, so this might be her again. We'll find out. Ending in 0978, what's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Dave and Jim, this is Matt. How are you?
It's not Barbara. It's Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Very good. Hey, I've got a question about stats for you.
Okay.
So I just started my podcast. I've only got 5 episodes out.
Okay.
But I've noticed there's just an inordinate number of downloads on my first episode and they're almost all from Utah. And I wonder if you know of anything. It doesn't seem like that makes sense to me.
What was the topic about?
It's about agriculture, and it's about small agricultural service businesses. But the percentage of them coming out of Utah, it's like 275 from Utah and 6 from Idaho, where I live.
There's a huge NSA facility in Utah, a data center that's there. So maybe the NSA is listening to you. No, all joking aside, that is true. But I see this from time to time with podcasters. So this is a question we see a lot in the podcasters group, both on Facebook and on Google Plus. Someone will see a big, gigantic spike in their numbers for some reason in some area. And it's probably something somewhere went awry in the download process and somebody downloaded that a bunch of times or was trying to get to it. It might have been even somebody was trying to get to it. It didn't download right the first time and they just kept clicking and it downloaded. From a number standpoint, I know you just said that, but what's the difference in numbers? I mean, are we talking hundreds in difference or tens?
Hundreds.
In yeah. Hundreds? Yeah.
No, hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other thing, too. My first episode has literally like 300 downloads versus all my other episodes are like 20, 24 hits, that type of thing. And so I'm just trying to understand what goes on with like web crawlers or people who find these, where those numbers are coming from.
One of the things you can do, and it's been a while since I've done this, I believe it's the word links and then a colon. You go to, let me see if I can do this live. And then I'll share my screen. In Google, you can basically...
Matt, who are you using for stats? Keep going.
Libsyn.
Libsyn, okay.
Okay, I think it's...
Yes.
Links, colon... if you... In the Google search... No, that's not it either.
You could have also posted that somewhere or someone, you know, in that first show, you get pretty zealous about, you know, getting it out there and advertising it. And somebody could have picked that up on their Twitter feed or it could have gotten posted on someone's site somewhere that got high visibility in a particular area.
Okay.
It's so hard to tell. This is the part that drives podcasters crazy is like, why so many on this first one, and then why do they dip so much? It's good you got 5 podcasts. Now you kind of have probably what your normal average is going to be going forward. You have a good baseline.
Right.
That first one's going to be an anomaly of some. You got picked up somewhere. I've got some video. I just created a brand new video feed, and typically with a brand new video feed, I get 75 to 150 downloads, and one show got 500, and you're like, why?
Okay.
You know, why did this show up? I still don't know. I hit new and noteworthy, but I'm not sure it was that, who knows? So there's so many factors that go into this, including a runaway bot that may have just hit it over and over and over again. Who knows? Yeah. Sorry.
But I kind of figured that, but Libsyn advertises that if the same IP address hits it twice, it only counts it as one hit. So then I was confused. Anyway, I'm not worried about.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
You guys
guys always talk about not. Sorry, I'm going to stop talking.
We should stop talking.
Yeah, that's it. I think I figured it out. If you go to the Google search box and type in link space and then your website, it shows you what websites are linking to yours. And
okay. There
might show that somebody on a forum is saying, you got to listen to this podcast kind of thing. Because I can see where I'm on strugglingentrepreneur.com and manversusweb.com.
You should post that in the show notes, Dave, so that other folks can go back out and take a peek at that.
Yeah, I just typed link space and then the whole HTTP colon to the school podcasting. And I could see... in theory, who is linking to my website, which according to this, 67,000 people. I'm like, that can't be right. But you never know if it's counting. That's why I always put a link to my website in my RSS feed. So if somebody is scraping my RSS feed, it'll point back to my website, if nothing else. You know, thanks for scraping my website and stealing my content, but at least I got a link out of it. So, but yeah. But the good news, where can we find your podcast?
The title is the Off-Farm Income Podcast, and the website is offincome.com. It's about small agricultural service businesses.
Cool.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate your podcast. I listen to you every chance I can get, and you've been real helpful. Really appreciate
cool.
it.
Cool. Well, thanks. Cool. Thanks for calling in.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Take care.
I'm loving the niche. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. One of the things we'll have to get better at, because I just don't think we're going to find a service that doesn't have latency on the phone calls. And we're going to have to get a lot better at asking questions and then stop.
Stopping up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems to be a little worse today than usual.
Yeah, I mean, it has been better, but today's latency is really bad. And it makes troubleshooting difficult, but I think it's just a discipline thing. It's something that if you're going to take calls, you're going to have to get used to, is unless you got a direct line in. You know, all these services that we use route through various things, and there's latency involved. It's the discipline of asking a question and waiting, right? You got to get it right on the first try. You can't go back and clarify. The other thing you have to be good with is silence. You know, just know that, nope, the other person's going to answer on the other end. You're just going to have to wait. So just disciplines for us to learn as we go forward.
That's it. And Jim, can you hang around?
Yeah.
We got
a
bunch of questions in the chat, but I looked at the clock and I'm like, hey, we're done. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
I know, it does. It really goes fast. Last week you said that, you're like, we're done. And I'm like, it can't be.
We just got going.
Just started.
Yeah, but if you are a new listener, we are here every Saturday, and we usually do stick around a little bit and answer some more questions. And, just come out every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And Jim, where can people find you?
Out at theaverageguy.tv.
You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and get some money off your first month there. Come for the education. Stay for the community, schoolofpodcasting.com. So, thanks to the chat room, we are going to answer some questions here after the, because I see where people are already commenting on the whole link thing here.
Well, and I got new noteworthy I'll talk about too.
Yeah. So, thanks so much for tuning in. Jim, we have 58 seconds to kill. Let's see.
Dave, it's a brand new year.
It is a brand new year.
Ask the Podcast Coach. What are you hoping? What's the best thing that could happen in Ask the Podcast Coach in 2015?
More downloads, I guess, right? More people in the chat.
I think more callers.
More
right?
callers.
I'm hoping that we have a show full of callers.
Yes. Less chat questions, more phone calls.
Less latency, more callers.
Yeah, exactly. That would be it.
That's what I'm asking for.
You know what's weird, though? I thought Thursday was Friday because it's the whole holiday thing.
Oh, it's all messed up.
I was pumped up on Thursday. I'm like, tomorrow's no, it's not. Oh.
It's been great. I took a little staycation, a little 5 days off. And man, I tell you what, when I realized Thursday night I still had a three-day weekend to come, I was like, yes.
And there we go. We'll see you next week.